So today we'll be in Luke 4 through 27, Luke chapter 8, 4 through 27. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word before you get too comfy. And Luke goes in verse 4, "And there was a great crowd was gathering, and the people from town after town came to him. He said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and were trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up around it and choked it. And some fell on good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold.' As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones among the path are those who heard, then the devil comes and takes the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but there's no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for those who fall among thorns, they are those who hear, but they go on their way, and they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. Their fruit does not mature. As for the good soil, they are those who hear, hearing the word, fast, in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For the one that has, more will be given, and the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' And he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.' This is the word of the Lord. Will you bow your heads with me? Father God, thank you for this time that we're able to gather together, Lord, that we don't have to be fearful of anything, God. God, thank you for your word, both in person of Jesus and in the scripture that we have in our hands, Father. Bless this time as we search your word, God. Let every thought that is from you, Father, let it stick, but every word that's not from you, God, and just of me, let it fall flat on its face, Father. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, God. And the heavenly sons, in your heavenly son's name, amen. You may be seated. So who has hearing issues? Perhaps you wear hearing aids, or perhaps you need to wear hearing aids. I grew up in a wood shop. So I have like all the high-end noises, like I can't hear any of them because of all the power tools and stuff. And also I have a ringing in my ears that never goes away. It's wonderful, I have to sleep with a fan on. But maybe you have listening problems, you have listening issues. Listening is different than hearing. Listening is hearing and doing the thing that you were heard, that you heard. I don't want to throw any of the husbands or children under the bus, so I'll use an example from my life, so you guys are spared. I have a very bad listening problem with Hannah. So she'll tell me to, you know, that like, oh, this is a really good idea. And I'll go, yeah, okay, sure. And then someone else will tell me. And I'll go, that's a great idea, I should do that. And then my beautiful bride reminds me, no, I told you that like a month and a half ago. Thank you for not listening. So, I think we all have listening problems though, especially when it comes to God. It's never easy to hear what God has to say, and it's even harder to obey what he says most of the time. But thankfully, we have Jesus as our mediator and also our big brother. And in this passage, he's going to tell us how to listen. And we're going to look at three different aspects of listening today. And before we get started, I want us to look at verse 8 real fast. He who has ears, let them hear. If you have ears, God's probably trying to talk to you this morning. Just saying. All right, let's move to our first point. Point number one is that we must listen actively. We must listen actively. Our point begins with Jesus addressing a crowd. And the parable he uses, the story that he tells, is a very, very famous story. You hear it so many times growing up in the church. But I want us to look at it a little different. But first, let's talk about it. So we have a sower that's sowing seeds into four different types of soil. The first is the road, and the seeds just get trampled on, and the birds eat them. The other seed lands in rocky soil, where the root tries to take root, but it's too dry, and it withers away. Then we have the weeded area, and in that, the seed begins to grow, but it gets choked out by the weeds before it's even able to grow, to produce fruit. But the final seed lands in good soil, and it produces good fruit, 100-fold of what it started as. And this parable is funny. In seminary, 1 week, I heard two different sermons on this passage. One was solely talking about predestination and how God controls every aspect of everything. And the other one was solely talking about free will, how we get to choose everything. And both these men were Christians. They both loved God, and they both had the Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit. And what I thought was interesting is they contradicted each other. Every single point headbutted each other. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, singular, not Holy Spirits. And we believe that we have unity as Christians in the Holy Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit can't tell me one thing and tell you a different thing from the same passage, and those be contradicting thoughts. Either one of us is wrong, or both of us are wrong. Both of us can't be correct. I love philosophy, so you'll bear with me sometimes. But the key is, I think they kind of missed the forest for the trees. You can pull as many thoughts as you want out of this parable, but I don't think those are the points that Jesus was trying to pull out, because he explains it. In verse 11, he begins talking about this parable. And he explains the parable as the seed is the word of God, and the ones on the path heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from them, and their hearts get hardened. In verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who heard the word and received it with joy. But once the honeymoon phase was over, once this life started to kick them, they fell away. The weeds in verse 14 are those who heard, but they never changed their lives. And then in verse 15, Jesus explains that the good soil is those who, in hearing, with good and faithful hearts, holding fast, producing good fruit. I think that this parable is focused on how you hear the word. I don't think it's accidental that Jesus talks about hearing for every single one of those soils. And that in verse 15, look how active that is. In different translations, it uses different ing words. So some say hear the word, some say hearing the word. But every single one of them has an ing, I-N-G, word in it. It's active. The rest of them are passive, or you heard the word at one point. This is an active thing, which I think that fits. Personally, growing up, I grew up in church, and then by the time I graduated high school, I was an atheist. Yeah, because I kept hearing the word. I heard the word, but my heart was hard. The devil was taking the word away from me before it could set root. Now, some of you, like, you guys probably don't have as crazy as stories, but I bet none of you, which maybe you didn't, praise God, but the first time, the very first time you heard the gospel message, did it latch onto you? Or did it take multiple times of you hearing it, and hearing it, and hearing it, before it finally set root? And then once you heard it, then it's an active thing, where you're actively hearing more from God. Are you listening to Jesus? What type of fruit are you bearing? This is a super important thing that Jesus talks about in verse 14. He talks about the people who call themselves Christians, but their fruit does not mature, versus the good fruit, which comes from a heart that is honest and good. And that fruit bears hundredfold, but with patience. It's not a quick process. It's a slow process. It's not a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We sometimes think that we should be further than what we are, and sometimes that's because we're not actively listening. Other times it's just because we're still immature in our faith. It takes patience to be a Christian. And you may have noticed that I skipped over verse 15. Verse 15 is super, super interesting because Jesus explains his reason for speaking in parables. And the Sunday school answer for why he speaks in parables is because stories are easier to understand. But that's not what Jesus tells us. Jesus uses the parables. He says the reasons he's telling the parables is so that those may see, but they won't, or those who are seeing may not see, and those who hear, they may not understand. Which, that's from Isaiah 6. That's from Isaiah's mandate from God, that here's, you're going to go talk to the Israelites, and you're going to preach to them. And I'm commanding you to do that, but they're not going to listen to you. They'll see you do things, but they're not going to see it for what it really is. And now Jesus is using that. And that's important. You have to actively be chasing God to be able to understand some things. Now, parables are cool, because if you trust in God, even if you're a wee lad, a wee kid, you'll be able to get something from it. You'll be able to glean information from it. But even as a seasoned saint, you may be reading this morning and going, oh, I never noticed that before. Oh, that's super cool. Because the Word of God is a treasure trove. These parables aren't just some silly abstract illustration that some pastor will come up with just to prove a point. These things are meant for us to study, to read over and over and over again, to learn more about the kingdom of God. And almost to prove Jesus' point on why he uses parables, he leads right into another parable. And this parable speaks of profound truth that I'm still not confident that I understand completely. And it's also very confusing. Which that leads us to our second point. which is that we must listen with care. That we must listen with care. We have songs based off of verse 16, that no one lighting a lamp will cover it with a jar or put it under bed, but they will let it shine. And that's as much as we're going to get into that, so we don't have to sing, because you don't want to hear me sing off key. But when we look at verse 17, Jesus once again explains this parable. He doesn't just leave it as a question, like, here, you can just take this and figure out what it means. He explains it to us. And in verse 17, he says that nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Nothing is hidden that won't come to light. What I think is really cool is that the Bible is so interconnected with itself. It just shows that even though there's so many different authors in Scripture, they all still have one direction that they're going. And John, probably reflecting upon Jesus speaking here, since John was there, he writes in 1 John 1 through 5, or 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, saying, "This is the message that we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." I don't know about you guys, but I've noticed that people don't like to sin in bright light. I mean, cultural sin is a different thing, and we can talk about that later, but like the bad sins, the taboo things, people never do that in the middle of day in front of everybody. They tend to do it indoors, preferably with the lights off, with a door blocking them from other people. Because we realize that sin is bad, and sin deserves to be in the dark. And we try hard to hide our sins. And they always come to light, especially whenever we don't want them to. As Christians, that's even more true. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when we sin, we feel guilt. And guilt's not a bad thing. We live in a culture that wants to tell us that sin or that guilt is bad, and you just need to overcome your guilt and you'll become a better person because of it. But guilt's a gift from God. Guilt tells us, hey, you're straying off the path that God has set for you. You're falling, you're failing. Come to Jesus. And that's the key, is the guilt should lead us to grace, to God's riches at Christ's expense. Because we are not good enough. We're not perfect. I'm sorry if I burst anyone's bubble. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And the guilt leads us to ask God for forgiveness. The light is the only way of illuminating the dark. And what's really cool is, if something's outside for an extended amount of time, it tends to get clean because of the UV light, and it kills bacteria or something. I'm not a scientist or a doctor, so take that with a grain of salt. But the light will kill bacteria. Light is a good thing. The light of God is perfect. The light of God is pure. The light of God illuminates everything, and that's a good thing. But verse 18, Jesus issues a warning. And Jesus' warnings scare me. Like, they make me quiver in my boots. Because he's the Son of God. He's the Word of God. And if he's issuing a warning to us, because if you look at this, it's his disciples that Jesus is talking to. It's not the Pharisees and him calling them a brood of vipers. It's his disciples. It's the guys and gals that he chose, that he has been pouring into since Luke began. And he gives them this warning in verse 18. Take care how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. We have to be careful when we hear, when we listen. We must simply not play dress up on Sundays, act holy at church, and then like a hellion the rest of on Monday and the rest of the week. We serve a holy God, and the consequences of falsifying that relationship are devastating. Fire insurance isn't a thing. Just going, oh yeah, I'll go to church, that way I can get my fire insurance card so I won't go to hell. That's not how it works. We believe in a relationship with God. And just like the consequences of falsifying that are steep, the gifts from embracing Jesus as your Savior, embracing him as your King, are also steep. We don't only have to hope for a better life, that this world will somehow get better. We have faith, which the author of Hebrews tells us is the assurance of things not seen. And, oh, I read that backwards, I'm sorry. It's for the hope. Faith is the confidence in things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. That's faith. We don't just abstractly like, okay, God is good, hopefully, and he'll love us. We know for a fact that he is good, that he is light, and that not only has he prepared a path for us to go and given us works on that path to follow, at the end of that path, we get to spend eternity with him. And not in broken bodies that we live with now, but in perfected bodies. And there won't even have to be a greater light and a lesser light, because we will have the perfect light of God. So we must take care how we listen. Between Jesus' call to listen actively and his call to listen with care, we could have a lot to think about. We could have a lot to chew on. But Jesus doesn't stop talking about listening there. And which brings us to our final point this morning, which is that we must listen and do. We must listen and do. Look at verse 19 with me. So as Jesus was talking, there began to grow a crowd around him. And his mother and his brothers were trying to come visit him, to come see him, to talk to him. And I laughed at David because he gave me this verse on Mother's Day. So, you know, the verse where it's like, oh no, those aren't my mothers. My mother is those who do and hear God's word. Lovely. But I digress. There's a lot that we could talk about with just these three verses, but time will not allow us to. But I do want to point out a promise and a command. The promise is that to Jesus, our blood doesn't matter. Our blood relations don't matter. Who your father was, who your mother was, who your great-grandpappy was, doesn't matter to God. The only blood that matters is his own. Because our blood is tainted. We all come from Adam. And we have a long line of sinners from him to now. If we tried to rely on our own, though, we wouldn't be able to get into heaven, much less even try to talk to God. But Jesus' blood is able to wash us clean. His perfect sacrifice makes it to where we aren't just able to pray to God, but he welcomes us into his family as adopted sons and daughters. And the command that Jesus gives us is, my mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And Jesus isn't promoting some sort of, you have to work to get your faith. He's not saying, you have to do X, Y, and Z, or else I'm not going to forgive you, or else you're not part of my family. It's flip-flopped. If I told Hannah that I loved her, if I told my wife that I loved her and never showed it, you know, never wanted to spend time with her, always came home late from work, always made her change every poopy diaper, I wouldn't be showing her love. I might be saying it with my voice, but I'm not showing it. That's why Jesus tells us to those who hear the word of God and do it are his mothers and brothers. Not because they have to, but because they want to. Because Jesus did this for us, so why should we not live for him? So one question I have with this is, what type of fruit are you producing? Are you producing good fruit that brings honor to God's name? Are you bringing or producing bad fruit that's just worldly? So where have we been this morning? We've looked at why we need to listen actively to God's word, that we need to listen with care, and that we must do what we hear. Your fruit matters. Are you producing fruit of the Spirit that's given by the Spirit, but produced in patience? Is your fruit visible to everyone around you? Are you doing the will of God? The change from a sinner to a saint is not an overnight change. You can't just flip a switch and go from Hitler to Mother Teresa. On the flip side, our justification, our standing with God, that is a switch. As soon as you welcome Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you're safe. You're good. God loves you. But the progressive sanctification, the becoming more like Jesus, is a progression. And it takes patience to do that. And it'll never be fully completed on this side of earth. That's the thing that we have to look forward to, that we will have those new bodies, and our worldly, fleshy desires will be gone on the other side of glory. So, this morning, where are you? Do you have hearing problems? What type of soil are you? Maybe you're here just because it's Mother's Day and you wanted to come to support your mother. Maybe you're here and you felt that joy at one point, but it's gone. Listen actively. Maybe you've been producing good fruit and you've been doing it through patience and you've had years of producing good fruit and you're getting tired, because this world is exhausting. We have a promise for a new world to come. We wait patiently, doing what we can, loving everyone we see, waiting for that coming day. And I can't wait for it. will you bow my heads? Will you bow your heads with me as we pray to transition to a time of Lord's Prayer? Father God, you are the Alpha, the Omega, Father. You are the creator of this world, and yet you formed each of us while we were still in our mother's womb. God, you knew each of our names before this world was created. God, thank you that your word always has something to teach us, Father. Let us not forget that even the breath in our lungs is a gift from you. God, give us ears to hear. Not just this morning, God, but for the entirety of our lives, God. Allow us to produce fruit that glorifies your name. Father, forgive us those that we need to, as you forgive us, God. In your heavenly Son's name, amen. Today's benediction is in 2 Corinthians 3:14. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. I love you all. You're going peace.